But so before we break for Maghrib in about 20 minutes, the first of those questions is that due to the many doubts which are thrown at Muslims, there are a number of questions. Basically, the first question is how the Quran is a miracle for the people who don't understand Arabic, because we cannot see or understand the challenge of the Quran. So basically the question is, how can we treat the Quran as a miracle for those people who are not Arabic speakers, for the non-Muslims who don't speak Arabic and who don't know Arabic? And so how can it be a miracle for those people, and likewise for Muslims who don't understand the miracle of the Quran? The miracle of the Quran is the greatest miracle given to any prophet or messenger. And the miraculous nature of the Quran is not limited to any one particular thing. Rather, the miracle of the Quran has many multiple different angles to it. And the miracle or the linguistic element of it is just one of those many elements. So the language and the style and the, you know, the structure and the form and the beauty and so on and so forth of the Quran is something that clearly only a person who is versed in Arabic would understand. And that's why the Arabs, who were the masters of oratory, of speech, because Arabic wasn't really a written language, it was a spoken language, and they were masters of oratory, meaning of the art of speech, eloquent speech, you know, in poetry or prose or whatever it might be. And so when the Quran was revealed, they immediately understood that this is no ordinary speech, because they are the masters in the language. So clearly, to appreciate the linguistic miracle aspect of the Quran, then you have to have, you know, a knowledge of Arabic to a certain degree. However, there are many other things besides the linguistic element of the Quran. In fact, even just a person listening to the Quran, it's just even its beauty and its impact upon the hearts and the souls, that in itself is a miraculous aspect. Likewise, from what the scholars mention, the akhbar, the information that is brought in the Quran, there are miraculous elements in that. Likewise, the ahkam, the rulings in the Quran and their comprehensiveness and their consistency and their wisdom and everything which follows on from a study and the discussion of the ahkam, the rulings, that in itself is also a miracle. Likewise, what the Quran commands of all of the lofty virtues and the lofty qualities and the noble traits and so on and so forth, and how it inculcates this within the person, what it calls to, that in itself is miraculous. Likewise, the things that Allah Azawajal brings attention to, of the ayat in the creation, the signs in the creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the oceans, the clouds, the rain, the winds, the mountains, and all of the various other things that we are informed of, in that is a miracle as well. So the miracle of the Quran is not limited only to the linguistic aspect. Rather, the scholars mention many different angles and facets to the Quran. A study of all of them will indicate the miraculous nature of the Quran, and combined together, they indicate the great miraculous nature of the Quran. So the issue is not limited only to the Arabic necessarily. Rather, although this is obviously the foundation of it really, because without the Arabic, you know, a person simply cannot grasp the reality of the meanings and the eloquence and the beauty and the miraculous nature of the Quran. But the miracle aspect of the Quran is not limited only just to the linguistic elements. Rather, it relates to the information contained therein, the rulings presented therein, and, you know, so many different usloob and methods, as the scholars themselves discuss. So yes, the Quran is a miracle. To appreciate that miracle linguistically, obviously, would require knowledge of the Arabic language. But there are other elements as well, which are also miraculous in their own right. But combined as a whole, they indicate the miraculous nature of the Quran. The second part, which I think follows on from the first question, The question is really, we know that there are certain prophecies made by the Prophet ﷺ, and we know that there are certain affairs of the unseen, or what are referred to as scientific miracles. How do we know that they're not from the jinn? That it was the jinn who informed. This is probably a shubha from some of the non-Muslims, I guess, that the jinn were informing about, you know, certain things that are mentioned in the Quran and, you know, other kind of discoveries and whatever. This is a shubha which is brought by, I guess, some of the non-Muslims. Now really, to be honest, this situation arises because we have ignorant Muslims who are using a method to invite non-Muslims to Islam, but they are using a method which has innovations and great mistakes within it. And this is one of the great trials and tribulations of the late 20th century and the early 21st century. And this trial and tribulation is that a people have come along and they've been amazed and dazzled by what is with the non-Muslims, of their sciences, their alleged their alleged sciences. So these alleged sciences, or these discoveries which they allegedly made in the early to the mid 20th century, when they started laying down the foundations of their belief system regarding the universe and the solar system and the Big Bang and so on and so forth. So they became amazed with all of this, and they decided, or they saw, that we will make this scientific discovery to be a foundation in calling the non-Muslims to Islam. So we will impress them with what we find in the Quran of foreknowledge. This is what they say. This is the basic idea. And so then what they began to do is they began to exaggerate wildly. They did not go back to the tafsir of the Salaf or the Sahaba, but they took certain ayat and began to put meanings into those verses, which those verses do not contain. And they then try to make them fit with the alleged discoveries or the claims of the modern scientists. So now all of a sudden we see that the Big Bang is in the Quran. Now we see that the alleged expansion of the universe is in the Quran. Now we start finding all these theories. Now we find that the speed of light is in the Quran. And we find that dark matter is in the Quran. And dark energy is in the Quran. And all this nonsense, distortion of the book of Allah, lying upon Allah Azza wa Jal, from these people, Zakir Naik, from these people, Hamza Tsotsis, all these people who are using who used the Kalam cosmological argument, which relies upon the Big Bang, that the universe had a beginning, and the Big Bang is batil, it is false, it is pure conjecture, and it is batil. That's a different topic altogether. There are many of these people. There are all these people out there, and they have fallen victim to this method. And to cut a long story short, what we should know and understand, ya ikhwan, is that the sciences of the disbelievers, especially in two fields, of the origin of the universe and the origin of man, it is pure conjecture and pure speculation and pure falsehood, all built upon hidden assumptions. All built upon hidden assumptions. By way of example, all of the signs of the 20th century to do with the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on and so forth, all of that science is built upon the is built upon concealing the fact that the science of the previous century has proven or proved conclusively that the earth is not moving. The science of the 19th century proved that the earth is not moving. It is not moving. The earth does not move. And the science of the 20th century is all built upon distorting physics, distorting true scientific inquiry in order to conceal the fact that the earth is not actually moving. And so this is where all of the Einstein, relativity, theoretical physics, mathematical models, Big Bang expansion, gravity, dark matter, all of this is just fairy tales. They're inventing ideas and concepts through mathematical trickery, mathematical witchcraft. This is what I call it mathematical witchcraft. This is what the philosophers used to do, that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was criticizing. That they think of things in their mind, which exist only in the mind, and then they treat them to be as if they are actual real things in external reality. And this is the same thing of what the modern astronomers are doing. They're not astronomers, they are witch doctors, they are voodoo people, this is what they are. But they are doing something not with chemicals, but with mathematical trickery. Right? They are thinking of things in their mind, which exist only in the mind, then they are proving it through theoretical mathematics. And this is something they will admit to you. They will say that basically all of modern astronomy has to be built upon mathematical theory, because we don't have a control experiment. We don't have another Big Bang. We don't have another creation of the universe to observe and analyze. So everything is mathematical theories and models. This is the crux of everything that they've built in the 20th century. It is all conjecture, assumptions, and then proven, made real by clever use of mathematics. So anyone who goes and tries to prove the Quran has scientific miracles whilst relying upon the scientific findings of the 20th century, he is a jahil, he is an ignoramus, and he will end up lying upon, they are lying upon the book of Allah Azawajal. Zakir Naik, he lies upon the book of Allah Azawajal. He lies when he says that in the Quran there is the universe expanding. He lies when he says that in the Quran there is the Big Bang. All of this is kadhib. It is a lie upon Allah Azawajal. So, coming back to the question was that why are these shubuhat, why are the non-Muslims spreading these shubuhat? They are spreading these shubuhat because the Muslims themselves have used a wrong methodology. Because they are ignorant of these realities. So when you start exaggerating in the scientific miracle and trying to impress the non-Muslims that their science is in the Quran, whilst their science is full of conjecture and nonsense and falsehood and lies, this is a recipe for the non-Muslims to come back and start attacking Islam and confusing Muslims and spreading so many shubuhat. So, obviously, we believe that there are miraculous aspects in the Quran. We believe in prophecies, and all of this is revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. And as for the claim of that this came from the jinn, this is just pure speculation. This is just one of many claims made by the non-Muslims that he's mad, that he's possessed, that stories are told to him morning and evening. It's the jinn, hallucinations. He makes them up. He took them from the Jew. All of these things, they are the well-known shubahat used by the Orientalists and other than them to try to explain the Quran, to try to explain the Sunnah. Where did this come from? All of these have been answered, they've been dealt with, they're answered in the Quran itself, they are rejected and denied in the Quran itself. So that's just something that we should be aware about, because the issue of scientific discoveries was mentioned in the question. Do not fall victim to the alleged scientific discoveries of the non-Muslims, because most of the science is built upon pure speculation, especially in these two fields, origin of the universe, origin of man. As for the hard sciences, the sciences that give us, the ones that bring benefit, like the hard physical sciences, the electronics and all the rest of it, Of course, this is beneficial science. We are speaking about the speculative sciences that they, you know, which their worldview is built upon: evolution, Big Bang, and on top of that, you know, underneath that is the atheism. All of that is just speculation, and a person will fall into mistakes if he starts believing that stuff. And you know, basically, what they're trying to do is your physical senses are telling you one thing. They want you to disbelieve in your physical senses. This is what they're telling you. They're telling you that everything you're seeing is just an illusion. Right? You don't feel the earth move. You see the sun, moon, stars rotating, daily, you know, rotating. This is what you see. And it's what you feel. It's what you perceive. This is what Allah tells you in the Quran. It's the sun that moves. They want you to believe that you are deceived. Your eyes are being deceived. And then they want you to believe their conjectures. They want you to believe their lies and their fabrications, which do not have any empirical evidence whatsoever. It is all assumption, conjecture, make-believe. But it's just done in such a sophisticated manner, with all the equations and whatever else, that a person is deceived and thinks it to be, well, they must know what they're talking about, it must be true. But it's not. When you dig and you study and you look at the history of all of this, it is clear that this is just conjecture. So that was the question. I'm not sure whether the answer has answered the issue that was raised about how the Prophet came to know this information and the shubha regarding that. The shubha regarding that has been answered in the Quran already. Ambihi jinnah, you know, is he? Or is he mad, or is he possessed, or does he have possession? All these things have been mentioned in the Quran, they've been anticipated, they've been answered in the Quran. With that, we'll conclude our lesson there today. It's time for Maghrib. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.